All right, that's okay. It's okay if they stay up. It's not a big deal. But I know they're going to have a lot of fun downstairs. And so if at any point, buddy, you get bored with what I'm saying, you can just get right up and run downstairs with the kids, okay? Don't leave the building. Just go downstairs with the kids. For those of you who were here last week, and you heard me share that story about that that girl that got saved, who had went to her house and prayed with her and her mother, and she gave her heart to the Lord. It got better as the week kept going. I went to the jail, and in the jail there was at least three more conversions. And I say at least three more because I led the whole room in prayer. One person specifically, well, a couple specifically, after sharing the gospel with them, wanted to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we all held hands and we all prayed the prayer together. I led them in a prayer. And I, you know, it's important too, you know, when you lead somebody in a prayer to make sure that, you know what, don't just repeat words after me, you know. This is, okay, we know the verbiage, and so we lead you in a prayer. But when it's all said and done, make sure that's a choice you made in your heart. Don't, you know, don't, just because you said these words, don't think that, you know, the words did anything to you. It's your heart and your decision to follow Jesus Christ that makes a difference in you. And so when I did that, but then at the end of the evening, before I left, I said to this group, I said, okay, so how many tonight, you know, for the first time really chose to follow Jesus Christ? And everybody raised their hand. Some of them, I believe, were already saved, but I don't know all the rest of them. So at least three people gave their heart to the Lord that last Monday night when I was at the jail. It was just, and I'm so blessed. I'm excited. So then Tuesday morning, I go to breakfast, and doesn't one of the pastors come in, one of the other guys come in and share a story of somebody that they had led to the Lord, you know, the day prior to as well. And so I share that with you because I want you to understand, I believe there are times when the windows of heaven are open. And I believe that there are times when just waves of hunger for God come through. And I believe we're in one of those waves. And so be paying attention and be shining that light. Because when somebody gets hungry for Jesus, you want to be there to share Christ with them. You want to be there to share love with them. And let them know it's okay. Wherever they've been, whatever they've done, God forgives it all. And be there, be that light for Christ, and you will see hearts change and lives change. And it's a very exciting time that we're in, especially around, you know, being it's near Christmas time, you know. I was blessed. We were singing that song, if God is for us, who could ever stop us? And if God is with us, who could stand against? And, you know, in the last, you know, political climate, I'll say, of the 8 years, it's been a little difficult for believers. But I read a news report a few weeks ago that said that there was this this teacher in a school down in Texas had put up a poster about Charlie Brown. You know, Linus with his blanket and Charlie Brown in the tree. And Linus is sharing the true meaning of Christmas. And there's just a little, you know, the little blurb there, the little sentence where it's Linus says, you know, born this day is a Savior and that. And that was on the poster as well. Well, the school decided, the principal came along and decided that had to be torn down or that had to be taken down. It's like, really? Come on. But the Texas Attorney General also saw that news report. And he went and told the school, you got to let her put it up. And so, yeah, amen. And so, you know what? You can see how the tide is turning back in favor for Christianity to be spread throughout the nation. I love it that we have a soon-to-be president that said, it's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas. Amen. Sure, go ahead. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. I think God is really doing some awesome things. And I think that his, you know, I really believe he's coming soon. I hope all you have that same anticipation. I believe that the rapture is coming soon, and that this, the age of the church that we're in, is about to come to an end prior to the tribulation. And I believe that before that, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Isn't that what the Bible says? That he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and our sons and our daughters. And I love that portion of Scripture. Our son, my son and my daughter, and your sons and your daughters. And, you know, the devil will be like, well, can't you see what your son and your daughter are doing? Yeah, I see it, but you know what? I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. And I'll trust God. And I know that he's going to pour out his Spirit on my son and on my daughter. And they will prophesy. And praise God, you know, you see all this atrocity over in the Middle East with all of these, you know, different religions and things going against Christianity. But the truth of the matter is that we don't hear is that the church is actually growing over there. People are turning to Jesus Christ because they're seeing the wages of war. They're seeing the ravages of war. And they're seeing what all of these other religions really have to offer them. And all it is death. But when they see how much God loves them, they're turning to Jesus. And I'm so blessed by that. This morning I want to share a portion of Scripture. And I hopefully want to encourage you. This message is for you as much as it is for your loved ones, and as much as it is for many who aren't here today, that I wish were here to hear this word. But I want to start with Mark chapter 16, verse 18. It says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know it says Hades there, but I just like the sound of the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that today as we look at your word and we read it, and Lord, that your Spirit just drives it into our heart, I pray, God, that our lives would be changed. Lord, speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Draw us all closer to you. Bring encouragement to each and every heart that walked through this door this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I say to you, Peter, on this rock, your name is Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, how many know that Peter wasn't always a rock? I've been, you know, thinking about how God grows in a heart and how he grew in my heart and how when I got saved, I got saved. I became a rock. In other words, I was not changing my position. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I will follow him, and there isn't anything that hell can do against me that is going to cause me to stop that. I'm going to keep following him. But how many of us know somebody who isn't exactly solid in their faith? Who isn't exactly a rock? Let me show you another portion of Scripture. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, I understand Simon is Peter. Okay? Jesus had a... I love the way, you know, if you look in Scripture, you'll see many times where Jesus changed somebody's name. And I kind of like that idea. And you know what? It just gives me this idea that maybe there's some people that need a name change. Because the Bible says that when you come to the Lord, all things become new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so I'm wondering if some of these people that struggle a little bit, maybe we need to give them a new name when they get saved. But it says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But he said, Lord, I am ready, in verse 33, to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you even know me. Now this is very interesting. You see, Peter, he was one of those people. How many have heard somebody say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the next week, they're not following Jesus. Right? Well, Peter was just like that. Here he is. You know what, Lord, I'll go to death for you. I'll go to prison for you. Whatever it takes, God, I'm with you. But Jesus tells him, you know what? Before the day's over, you're going to deny me. And so think about this thought just for a moment. Jesus knew the time, the place, and the way in which Peter would fail him. And guess what? Each and every one of us probably have failed him at some point in our lives. Jesus knew you were going to do that. But it didn't deter him. Thank God it didn't deter him. Is there anybody here that did not at one point in your life fail Christ after having come to him, right? We have. But you know what? It didn't stop Jesus. He knew you were going to do it. He knew where. He knew when. He knew what you were going to do. Yet he still loved us. Just like Peter, he still loved Peter. You didn't surprise him. You didn't surprise him when you fell to your temptation. How many of us here are tempted? Probably on a daily basis. All of us. I've been getting a lot of mileage out of a particular portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now here's the deal. We all are tempted. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm tempted. I mean, that's the truth. They already know. But understand this. There is no temptation that commands you but what is common to man. What's that mean? It means you are not alone. You are not alone. I'm amazed at the people that I talk to. And when you start, you know, really, when you start digging into somebody's life, and there are some people that, you know, have learned that you don't want to get alone with Pastor Dale because he's going to dig. Group of ladies came in, and some of the girls that came in this year or this month were like, they, you know, I'm like, don't worry, we're not going to go as deep as we did last time. Last time we went really deep, but they were not. We're just okay. It's like, oh, whew, wow, because Pastor Dale's going to dig. It's important to dig. It's important to get in there and find out what's really going on in your heart, because if you don't deal with what's really going on in your heart, what good is it? You got to go there. You got to let God work on everything, even the deepest parts. Yes, sister. Amen. Thank you for saying that. Because what she mentioned about was sharing the difficulties. And God bless you. Do we know any new information? Somebody said something about a reveal. I don't know what that was all about. I'm guessing. It's a boy. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Congratulations. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Yeah. Woo! Amen. Praise God. There's only one? Is that there's only one boy? But what Laura mentioned there is, don't be afraid to share the difficulty. That's one of the things we do at Celebrate Recovery. We all talk about the hard stuff. Because if you don't ever touch the hard stuff and let somebody else know that, you know what, you're going through some hard stuff too, they might think, oh, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me because how come, you know, their life is so perfect? Once they started following Christ, everything fell into place, and they've never had a sad moment since. That's not true. We all go through hard stuff. I've had people tell me, you know, as pastor, I'll sit down and I'd share my stuff. And I've had people say, you know what, I'm so glad you shared that because you shared that, I felt like, you know what, I guess I can share that too. And then when you start talking about what's really going on, you realize that you're not alone. Everything that you're struggling with, somebody else is struggling with as well. In a group this size, chances are whatever your struggle is, there's somebody in the room right now that has the same issue in their life. There's a good chance of that. And so there's nothing that comes on you but what is common to man. But it says God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. What's that mean? It means that a lot of times God has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. He says that he will not allow anything to tempt you more than what you can take. But unfortunately, when that temptation comes, we go like, oh, I'm doomed. I'm going to fall to this again. And you know you don't want to. And you walk down that, you know, you walk down that road again. Realize the strength you have in God. It says God is faithful. I'm so glad God is faithful. We've seen some miracles lately about God's faithfulness. There's a story I wish I could share with you. It's just unbelievable how God's timing, his purpose and his place, and how he sets things in motion and gives you that escape route. It says he will also make a way of escape. Every temptation that you have, there's a way out of it, and he will show you the way if you turn to him. And so when you're being tempted, pray that prayer, God, show me. Show me the way out of this, because I'm about to fall. There's a reason why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, he said that, you know, when the disciples asked him, how do we pray, God? And he says, well, part of that prayer is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a reason why he said that. We need to be praying because we will be tempted. You will be tempted. I will be tempted. And we need to continue praying, God, deliver us from the evil one. Well, what is that all about? Well, it's just like it said in that portion of Scripture we read. It said, Lord, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that you may be, that he may sift you, that you may be sifted like wheat. Satan is the evil one. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Satan who wants to sift us like wheat. Now, if you look at the original text, when it says there, he has asked for you, there's other translation that says Satan has desired you. And if you look up that word desired, you learn that what it is Satan is saying, I want to put him on trial. God, he's calling out Simon's name. And guess what? He's calling out your name and my name too. And he's also calling out the names of our children. He's calling out the names of our loved ones and different ones. And he's saying to God, I want to put him on trial right now for the things that they do and the things that they have done. And so Satan is up there saying, I want to sift Simon like wheat. I want to make sure that he doesn't make it to heaven. I want you to know, God, that he's going to fall. The verse I left out when I read this portion the first time was verse 32. And this is the verse that I want you to grab hold of this morning. I want you to be encouraged by it. See, Jesus says to Simon Peter, whatever you want to call him at the moment. He says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Think about that for a moment. Jesus says, I have prayed for you. If there's anybody you want praying for you, it's Jesus. You think that God hears Jesus? You think that God answers the prayers of Jesus? You know, a lot of us, we pray and we pray and we pray and feel, oh, God don't hear my prayers. He doesn't answer my prayers. Well, he does. Yes, he does. But I want you to know something. You're not the only one praying for you. You're not the only one praying about that situation that you got in your heart. Jesus is praying too. Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And so God is praying for you and for me and for all the people that aren't here and for all of our loved ones and those who are struggling. Excuse me? Amen. What my wife says, it tells us how important our faith is. Faith is very important. Faith is so important that Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to pray that your faith will fail not. Isn't that interesting? Pray that your faith will fail not. How many times have we fallen since we got saved? How many times have our loved ones fallen since they got saved, but their faith failed not? Think about that for a moment. I was sitting in the jail the other day. I love going to the jail. If not, I get tons of illustrations out of them. I hope. But it's so real in there. It is so real. You got people that are so hungry. And there are young ladies the other night that I met with. And they're like, well, I know I got saved back then, but why am I in here now? Well, because you had a little relapse, you had a fall, you had a failure. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean that your faith has failed. You still trust Jesus to save you, right? Yes, I do. Well, all right then. Jesus is praying for you that your faith would fail not. And he says, look at what he says. And when you have returned to me, what's that mean? You're going to mess up. When you have returned to me, he's telling Simon, I prayed for you that your faith would fail not, but guess what? You're going to fail. But you will return. And when you return, not if you return, when you return to me. And so let me encourage you this morning. You are being prayed for by Jesus Christ that you would return. If you have fallen, if you're not really in the place where you think you should be or you know you should be in God, understand he knows you're coming back. The only reason you walked in this place this morning is because you have a hunger for Jesus Christ. You're returning. Some of us have to return every week, right? Some of us have to return every day. And he says, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. What's that mean? Strengthen your brother. It means, you know what? I screwed up, and this is how I screwed up, and chances are, you know, if you're struggling the same way that I struggle, Jesus is faithful, and Jesus is still there for you, and you're going to make it. Strengthen your brother. That's why I think it's important for us to share our testimonies. The things that are hard. Don't we all wish that the moment everybody, you know, gave their heart to Jesus, that they never sinned again, they never fell again, they never did the wrong thing again? Don't you wish that was what life was like? But because we live in these bodies of flesh, because we have these ungodly desires in us and all this other stuff, it's hard. And sometimes we fail, and Jesus knows the time, the where, the when, and the how, and all of that, but he does not give up on you. And he says, when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew that Peter would fail him, but Jesus also knew the time, the place, and the way that Peter would return to him. And so think about that. Those of you who have loved ones that are not following Jesus right now, God knows when they're coming back. You keep praying for them, and you understand that God is still praying for them. He knows when they're coming back. He knows what it's going to take for them to get to a place where they come back to him. Now, if you read the story, all the way through, you learn that Peter, after he denied Jesus, he gave up. He said, you know what, I'm going fishing. So what's that mean? It means he returned back to the life that he was living before. How many of our loved ones or how many times have we gone back to the life that we were living before that we never should have returned to? And God knows that. And you wonder why some people, like, man, you were so set free from that lifestyle. Why would you go back? Because we're just like Peter. They do. But God knows the time, the place, and the way that you will return, and that we and they will return. And here's the thing. It said Jesus prayed for Peter. Well, that's nice. Jesus prayed for Peter, but he prays for us too. What it says in John chapter 20, it says, I pray. Jesus is praying for the disciples. And he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Guess who that is? That's us. Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for you. Do you know why you have victories in your life now and again? Because Jesus is praying for you. Do you know why you're going to have eternal life and you're going to make it? Because Jesus is praying for you. Do you know why one day you're going to be that rock just like Peter? where you're solid in your faith and some of the things in your lives are no longer be an issue for you anymore because Jesus prays for you. And we can trust that God will answer the prayer of Jesus for us. Do you trust Him? That was close. I got a big ice cube that time. I wouldn't have been able to speak with that in my mouth. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him to keep your loved ones? Do you trust Him to keep your neighbors and those that you're praying for? And let me tell you something. You need to be praying all the time for the lost. Pray for the lost. I think there's a reason why people are hungry for Jesus at different times in their lives. And I believe it's very directly tied to somebody praying for them. I really do. I believe that. I believe the only reason I'm saved is because of the people that prayed for me. You know, there may be some who come along and just kind of, you know, stumble on the gospel on their own and get saved on their own, but you know what? Somewhere in their past, or somewhere maybe that day, maybe they had a friend that they don't know about praying for them. Maybe they had a grandmom who died before they were born who prayed for them, who prayed for all their future offspring. Whatever the case may be, I believe we all get born again because somebody prays for us. Pray for people. And I believe we can trust that God will answer the prayer for Jesus for us. Look at this portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. We sang part of this in that song. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us as well, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It's so incredible that what God did for us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? And you know, if you go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 8, you're going to learn that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, God decides who gets condemned, and God decides who gets justified. But when Jesus is praying for you and me, guess what? We will be justified. And it says, verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. My wife talks about this verse often. If you got Jesus praying for you, how can you not make it, right? If God is for us, who can stand against us? Now, going back to Peter, Jesus called him a rock. On this rock, on this man of solid faith, I'm going to build my church. You know what? It takes solid faith to build the kingdom of God, right? We need to be solid. Which means when the waves come, we don't fear. It means when the storm comes, we stand. When stuff gets hard, we keep moving forward in Christ. On this solid rock, I will build my church. But then we read how Peter failed God. We know that before the rooster crowed that morning, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times. Here the guy that said, I'll go to prison for you, Jesus. I'll die for you, Jesus. Before the night was out, he denied that he even knew him 3 times. And you know, sometimes we do that in our lives, don't we? Maybe not so much with words, but perhaps by the things we do. You know, we deny that we even know God sometimes with our actions. How many know actions speak louder than words, right? And that's why it's so important that we learn how to love people no matter what. You know, I've said this many times about, you know, we get into conflict. Maybe before the day's out, but probably before tomorrow's out or before next week is out, we will be in conflict with somebody. You know that? What the Bible says as far as it concerns you, live at peace with all men. If somebody wants to have conflict with you, let them be who they are, but you be who Jesus wants you to be. And you be a person that loves. You be a person that brings peace. You be someone, it's like, you know what, you want to argue? I'm really not, I don't want to argue with you. I don't have to be right all the time, even if I know I am. Doesn't matter. Because having peace with somebody is much greater than being right all the time. I love being right. I do. But sometimes it's just not worth it. I'd rather have a relationship with somebody and lead somebody to Jesus than get in arguments and conflict and whatever. And it's like, you know, there are those who will just butt heads with you all the time. And it's like, you know what? Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something that we both enjoy together. Let's you know, live at peace with one another. I think it's very important. But here's the thing. Peter failed God. We've failed God. Our loved ones have failed God. You know, different ones have failed God. And we all, you know, need to be praying for one another, but also realize that Jesus is praying for us as well. And what is the end result of that? Well, the end result of that, the day of Pentecost comes. Jesus has risen, and he tells the disciples to go to this place and stay there until the promise of the Father comes. The promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, falls on the place. The place is going crazy. You know, they're all speaking in tongues, and everybody outside looking in saying, those guys are all drunk. And, you know, the world does not understand us, do they? They think, boy, those people are crazy. Those people, they don't know what they're out of their minds. There's something wrong with them people. Anybody get that? I know there's a lot of people think there's something wrong with me, but anyway. But in the midst of all the chaos, yeah, move right along. In the midst of all the chaos. Chaos?
No.
What? Oh, what he just did?
Moving right along.
Come on, Pastor. Lunch is cooking. Let's keep running. Let's not go there anymore. In the midst of all the chaos, here's the guy who had denied Jesus, who Satan tried to sift, who Jesus prayed for. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, verses 14. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And you go on to read what it says there in Acts chapter 2, and you will read a sermon that Peter preaches. Peter the rock. Peter the guy whose faith is now solid. And you'll read that he preaches this message, and the end result of that message after Jesus stands up for Jesus rather than denying him is that 3,000 people got saved that day from that one sermon. Be encouraged, church. You know what? You may have issues in your life where you feel like I'm failing. I know I'm not where God wants me to be. You may know someone who isn't walking with the Lord the way you know they should. But don't be afraid. Maintain your faith. Don't let your faith fail. Jesus prayed that your faith will fail not. Because the day will come when you will stand, when you will have the opportunity to stand, and when they will stand, and they will be able to profess Jesus Christ, and people will get saved. You might be thinking, well, that's not me. There's no way I'm going to lead anybody to Jesus. Well, you know what? If Jesus keeps praying for you, you will. Doesn't matter if it's one person. Doesn't matter if it's 3,000 people. And it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. But today we all have an opportunity to stand up for Jesus Christ. Where is your faith right now? Are you a rock in your faith? Are you that solid? If you are, I'd like you to stand with me right now. Go ahead. If your faith is that strong right now in Jesus Christ, then stand with me. And don't feel like, oh no, I can't stand it. I have to stand because I don't want to feel left out. I don't want to keep, but you know what? If that's not where you are, I want to encourage you this morning. You will be there. Do not let your faith fail you. God loves you. God died for you. God knows the stuff that you're going to go through. God knows that you are going to fail Him. God knows that even though we're all standing, chances are there's days when we'll struggle. But you can get to that place where you'll be able to stand up. And you will be solid in Him. And I want you to think about your loved ones, people that are like running all over the place. Anybody got some prodigals that are just kind of running all over the place? The day will come when God will bring them to their senses. Why? Because Jesus is praying. He is praying. And I believe that everyone that Jesus prays for will become that solid rock in the faith. And so right now I want to pray for all of those who are struggling. All of those who just don't seem to be, you know, exactly what, you know, the rock in faith like Peter became. You know, it's a real story of struggle. It's a real story of failure, if you think about it. You know, we talk about relapse all the time in our Celebrate Recovery program. That was a big relapse that Peter did there. Relapse is what? Going back to your old life. Heavenly Father, I pray right now. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly God, I just pray right now. No matter where we are in our walk with You, that we would be encouraged today by the power of Your prayer, by the power of Your love for us, that every single heart in this place will become a solid rock of faith for You. And Lord, that You will continue to build Your church. And I appreciate, God, that there are some that are still sitting. I appreciate their honesty. I appreciate, God, that they understand that the struggle is real. And we pray for each of them. We pray for each of our loved ones, God, that maybe perhaps wouldn't be standing either. We pray for them and we add our prayers to the intercession of Jesus Christ. God, You know when they're going to return. You know the place, the time, and the circumstance when they return to You. Father, I pray that it is soon. But Lord, You know the road that each one has to walk down to get to that place where they will become solid rocks of faith for the kingdom of God. And so bless each one here this morning, each one standing and each one that is sitting. Our hearts are turned to You today. Help us to overcome. Help us to stand, to be able to bear all the different temptations in our lives, understanding that You have provided a way of escape. And Lord, I pray that upon this rock, You will build Your church. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.